Welcome to the IQ Meets EQ podcast. I'm Jackie Broman, Principal Solicitor at TBA Law and CEO of Legally Wise Women. And as always, I'm here with Oosh Danik, former corporate lawyer, then head of HR, and now an emotional intelligence coach. Good morning, Oosh.
Good morning, Jackie. How's it going? Christmas week?
Yes, it is. So close to the end of the year. Episode 89. So close to 100. And next year, we're going to alter the format a little bit again, taking 3 or 4 weeks break over January. And then we'll go back to a fortnightly format with guests only, because we accelerated this year and had our mini bites in between. So that sped us up and got a lot of consistency, but it's a lot of work.
It is, yes, especially for you doing the editing.
Yeah. So, yeah, having to do something every week on top of everything else, but fortnightly is well and truly doable. So,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, we wanted to sort of have a bit of a review again of the year this episode, like we did last year.
I know. This year's just flown, hasn't it? It's gone, but it's been. I was reflecting on it this morning, actually getting ready for our podcast. As hard as it's been, I feel like it's been really productive on a personal and business front, as I think it has been for you too.
I agree. I also feel like it's flown. I keep thinking it's still 2020.
Same.
Yeah. But the transformations this year have been really dramatic. It's almost like 2020 was static and we got to redo it this year and have all the growth that we'd usually expect in a 12-month period. Yeah, because certainly my personal and spiritual growth and then the growth of my business has reflected all that as well. And, yeah, the stuff that we've achieved this year and finished off, I think that's what makes it feel like a big deal as well, because we've actually finished off a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, and it's funny you say, if you look at those spikes of, you know, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, it's like last year, like now it's been 12 months since I've left home and separated, divorced, all of that. So like that's been on a personal front, bloody huge. Yeah. The transition, the change, the you know, the shake up in Gia's life with that as well, with moving to homes, the business side has grown. And if we look at our guests, you know, we've now invested in crypto. I just finished on a personal spiritual front, the 4-day Vedic meditation course this weekend, which I'll share in a minute. So it's, and my course is done, like everything's done. Like it has been I think the biggest year of my life. It really has.
Biggest transformations, absolutely. And getting things done. And both of us are so set now for 2022. Like all our stuff is done. No more creation, just consistency.
Yeah, exactly right. Like it's all good to go. It's funny, like no creation. I'm meeting with my VA today. I've got a call with her tonight at 5 o'clock on my drive home, because she's like, I don't know what I'm doing now because everything's done, everything's uploaded. I'm like, oh my God, like, yes. What are you going to do? So it's a really interesting conversation to have, like literally the week before the year ends, because that was my goal, was to have it all done.
Yay.
So yeah.
Big celebration. We should take a moment and actually go, wow, what amazing creatures we are.
I know, we've done it. And you know what? The good thing is we're both action takers, but I also think having the podcast and catching up like the way that we do, it almost holds us accountable, doesn't it? Some of the stuff that we say we're going to do.
That's right. And it has us thinking deeply a lot more than we probably would, because talking to people who've been quite successful and gone through transitions and are bringing up other topics that we might not talk about on a daily basis in our fast lives, we stop and we reflect and we actually have some deeper self-awareness and EQ. Amazing.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. And I think we've had a lot from our guests this year, from our point of view, to reflect around the burnout and the whack, haven't we? Like we've had a fair bit of that. So I think that's really brought it to the forefront of our attention. And we both ended up doing that Vedic meditation course. So
yes. Tell me about yours.
Oh my God. So I did it with Nico.
Yes.
And it was an amazing 4 days. Yeah. And I'm doing it twice a day, absolutely loving it.
Yes.
And you would have heard of Tom Knowles, right?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I've been listening to his podcast for a long time.
Oh, I just signed up yesterday. I'm so excited. I'll be listening to his podcast, and I signed up to his membership as well. So it's $50 a month US, and he does a talk for 3 hours every month, but a live Q&A. And the questions he gets asked are amazing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if you join the membership, he actually unlocks the whole of 2021. So you get 12 episodes, like 12 of them.
Yep.
So you can watch one a month. So that's happening. And I've decided I'm going to do teacher training in 2023.
Wow. For Vedic? You're kidding?
Yes. No, and Nico's teaching it for the first time ever.
He'll be great.
And I said to him, can you do it? And he's like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, just do it. And he's like, all right, I'll do a small group. Because if you learn with Tom Knowles, you have to go to Arizona for 4 months.
Yes.
Residential. Mm-hmm. So it's not practical for anyone that's a parent or a business owner, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he said he'll run it in 2023. And I'm going to do a couple of one-on-one mentoring sessions with Nico in 2022 to get ready.
Amazing. That so suits you.
I know.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now that you've done the course as well, you understand why you can't give your mantra.
Yes.
And does your mantra change when you do it? Like
do I change it, you mean?
Yeah, does it morph in your head as you do, as you sit?
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? You can't sometimes even remember it until you've sat for a minute or two.
Correct, yeah. And I'm sure you use the same words, but I love it when he says smile on the inside when your thoughts come. But yeah, it's just incredible. And the benefits, if anyone here is listening to this, I'm telling you guys now, just go look up Vedic meditation, look at Tom Knowles's website, Tomknolles, and you'll get a flavor of what it is. And I'm the definitely doing twice a day. Are you twice a day?
No, I'm only doing once a day now. I was doing twice a day for the first 40 or 60 days or whatever it was. And I think the twice a day has huge benefits. It's just that it slipped and got too busy and I couldn't fit it, even though I love it. And so I know that the first one is enough to settle my mind and remove the stress. But if I got the second one in, I'd go that deeper level, which is why I'm not getting the transcendence.
Right, yeah, because you go below the surface. Yeah, and I'm actually enjoying the two. I look forward to it.
I was doing it in the car on the way home, stopping somewhere and parking and doing it. But
I was going to say stopping, I hope, Jackie. Jesus Christ, like driving and doing it.
You can't do that. That's dangerous. So, yeah, parking and doing it before I got home because I just cannot do it at home in the evenings. But it also adds an extra half an hour. So I'm not getting home till 7:30 or 8 o'clock and I just couldn't keep doing that. So next year I'm going to try and pop it into the middle of the day.
Yeah, pop it in. Like, and you know what? It might have been, you know, Nico was saying, like, you know, one of his clients at work does it in one of the rooms at the office. And it's really encouraged other people to meditate as well for half an hour a day in their break. So it's, and it's helped the business altogether as a result of that. So,
yeah. So I will. I'll try and pop that in. But, yeah, our guests this year have taken us on, have sort of followed along the spiritual journey that we've sort of had this year and deeper emotional journey because we started having self-love month in February and so we actually introduced some topics onto the podcast we hadn't spoken about before.
Yeah.
And then we had three guys over the March period as well. So we had some men.
Yes, that was really good. And that was about connection, relationships, the business side of things, but also the element of self-love that sort of flowed into what the men were saying too. So that was a great month. Yeah,
that's right. And it was good to really reflect and have some really highly emotionally intelligent men on as well, because I guess they are out there. It's just that we prefer to focus on women because, you know, men get so much lift up in life. Let's lift some women.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, as you said, we had sort of things peppered throughout with well-being and burnout, and peppered sort of through some really inspiring things like talking about sustainability and getting through the pandemic and like having some local roots as well. So we really spoke about a couple of times, particularly with Kate Dillon with her shirts locally made in Melbourne and pivoting and making your business still thrive.
That's right. Yeah. And then, you know, we did the financial well-being because I think for you and I, that was a, you know, big aha moment of, you know, it's something that we always just think, yeah, we'll do it later, we'll do it later. But have we really sorted it out? And I think that was really good. And to have a bit of a risk element to and invest and learn a little bit about that. And I'm really excited now because I can say I've like done that across 4 different platforms.
Wow. That's great. What a big step.
With an investment of 20K.
So yeah, right.
It's great to have done that and see it, you know, go up and down. And
yeah,
it's something that's going to be a long-term investment, but it's just good to have it done, you know, and do that. So yeah, that was good. And then, you know, like you said, the burnout thing that I think we've both been very mindful of. And, you know, we had that moment, you know, where we, you know, we had that dip. Do you remember where you were feeling quite flat
middle of the year in June and July?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we spoke about, you know, your vulnerabilities of how you were feeling then, and then you had to take stock and have a day off your business or the planning day, I think, didn't you, to get you through the end of the year? Yeah
And had some real hard talks to myself, because to be honest, it was the first time when it actually slapped me in the face and I realized that I was hustling and working so hard to supplement underperformers. And so I just had to finally say to myself, no matter how much you want someone to achieve and the potential you see in them, if they are not realizing it, you've got to cut them. This is a business. And so I did. There were 4 people went in 2021. Mm-hmm. And I have a great team now. And in some respects, you know, I wish that I'd learnt that lesson earlier in business, but thank God I finally learnt it.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I ran a session for a law firm actually on the, you know, the behaviors that you need in your business that make you a high performing team. Mm-hmm. And there's these 2 psychologists that interviewed 75 different groups of people, right? So get this, they interviewed them, like teams that had climbed Mount Everest, the high performance teams, like cardiac surgery teams, emergency response teams, military teams, football teams, famous football teams, theater people, like a whole range, 2-year research. And they put up the 8, you know, characteristics of a high performance team. And, you know, some of the stuff was stuff we'd know, like, you know, unified leadership, collaborative, goal, recognition, reward, external support. But the one thing that people always, always forget when I run this session and we try and get them to guess all 8 was competent team members.
Oh,
and people do not think that that's a thing. And I'm like, hang on a minute, because it's so true. Because if a business, how can a business be high performing if it doesn't have competent team members? Mm-hmm. And it's such a big aha moment, because I run this session for about an hour and I break them up into teams. They're going to guess all 8 or write down all 8, and no one can get 8.
It's so true, because looking again back at those underperformers, and particularly when we started performance managing and really putting them under pressure, how much pressure they put on everyone else in the team because they were just dropping the ball and everyone got so annoyed about it. And you're right, it's then to recover. But you know what? The team has just come together so much more bonded over the fact that we did that process as well and can't look back.
No, so that was that going through that year. And then I think a bit of a sprint, wasn't it, after that hump?
From September through to the to now. Wow, disappeared.
Because we did our planning, didn't we? Like both of us sort of plan our last quarter in our businesses around September, and we don't really take the foot off the pedal until about now. Mm-hmm. It's been a really interesting journey this year. And then
Everything that's going on external to us as well. So we're obviously navigating lockdowns, and Sydney had a really long lockdown like we had last year, and then we went into another really long lockdown, and the exhaustion of all of that and the anger and then the vaccination debate and finally coming out the other side in freedom. Like, it has just created so much division in the communities around us, and yet I feel like with everything going on externally, we've got really tight little close worlds around us that are doing really well.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. How are you feeling going into the new year?
I feel like there's a hell of a lot of momentum. I feel pretty positive because, again, like everything's really built and everything's ready to sort of thrive, but I'm still missing a couple of things, and it's people. Like I'm still trying to recruit probably three people, like one really key person as well to sort of take over a lot of the actual legal work that I'm doing, because I am so stretched. And that's the other thing that this year has shown. Like we've had pretty much a 60% increase without extra staff. And I've been saying for a long time that, you know, I'm doing the workload of three people as it is, and I need to focus on what I bring to the business best. And yet this is almost like a test, as if like, no, you can't stop doing legal work because, you know, you need it or something. But it's just so frustrating. Where are the people?
Yeah, that's right. It has been hard to get roles. Yeah, I hear you. I'm on the other side of, you know, I hired the instructional designer this year, which has been great. And she's finished now, obviously, because the course is all built and loaded. And I'm thinking I really need a gun of a salesperson next year. But it's so scary just to like the cost of putting someone on. And I know you would have felt that when you put your first person on. You know, I'm at that stage. I haven't got a team, but it's really daunting.
It's almost like that with every person though, because they've got to then pay for themselves. But at least with a salesperson, they're more used to a commission style. And so you could pay them a lower base and give them a higher like commission share on based on performance. Whereas other people just tend to be a bit more of a leech sometimes. Like they just don't understand that it's a business and they sap the life out of it.
Yeah, that's right. I was just doing something yesterday with my business coaching and I thought I'd share it because it's really, really powerful. And they were saying that, you know, how our mind, and it's really timely going into the new year, we ask ourselves questions, right, in our mind all the time. And those questions have a negative bias to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
What will happen if this happens? What will happen if that happens? And I'm just going to pull it up because I wrote it down to share. Mm-hmm. And this basically said the importance of questions is you can choose to ask a question that will empower you or disempower you, right? You've got a choice. Mm-hmm. So you should ask yourselves questions that empower you. And some of these questions, I'm just going to read these out because I think it will literally reframe how people think, is ask yourself, why is it so easy to generate new clients? Mm-hmm. Why are my clients so pleased with my efforts and my business? Why are they so happy to refer me to their friends and associates? Why am I such a good match to their needs? Why do I expect my marketing to do so well and bring me new clients? And why do I see my business booming so much this year? And you know what? It was a really interesting thing to go, it's so true. Like, why can't we ask ourselves those questions? And this is all about your brain training. So what John was saying here was that if we ask ourselves empowered based questions, our mind will automatically start to think of the answers, as it does with negatively framed questions. So he's like, you might ask yourself a question, you might go on a walk, you might do this, you might drive, but your brain is actually processing that question. And he goes, it will come up with solutions to the empowering question. And I'm like, do you know what? That is one small freaking hack I am committed to doing next year. And I'm going to write them down for my business and I'm going to put them up. I'm even going to put them in my car, like on the dashboard. And I'm going to ask myself, I'm going to train myself next year to ask more empowering questions than disempowering. How cool is that?
That's really cool. And you know what? It's funny because you and I probably train people around doing some of this stuff in different contexts, but don't apply it to ourselves in business. Yes. Because I apply this same thing to people in a conflict situation and tell them, ask your brain a complex question and it will pull you back into the moment. And amazingly, your brain will solve the complex question. But it's usually the complex question is, what do I actually want from this situation? And how should I behave if that's exactly what I want? And yet we don't do it for ourselves. And I just wrote down a couple of the ones that you read off there, because there's certainly some that I think that I should be asking myself, because you pose a complex question to your brain and your brain's an amazing thing. It will start looking for solutions, even subconsciously.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? I'm so doing that. So one of the biggest questions I'm going to ask is, why is my salesperson doing so well? And how did I find such an amazing salesperson?
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, I just thought I'd share that to kick everyone off in the year, because it's something very small that everyone can do.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. I listened to a podcast yesterday talking about work creep, with everyone sort of working from home or working more flexibly. And I just wanted to see, you know, how you were managing it. I mean, you and I tend to hustle a lot being in business for ourselves, but you've also been able to start carving out a couple of weekends here or there which you don't touch work, and how important you've said how important that is, particularly in the concept of burnout. So how do you think that moving forward that work creep is going to be reconfined, and how do we not feel guilty about not being available all the time anymore?
Yeah, look, it's been a struggle. I know that initially when I started this and I had a bit of time out, and I'm not talking about a whole day off, I'm talking about finishing at 4 o'clock or something, right? Yes. There was this element of guilt. Like, I almost felt like someone was going to ask me why. Mm-hmm. And no one would, right? But it was that awful feeling. And then, do you know what the shakeup was? It was that thump whack conversation that I reflected on, because I could feel certain things happening to me that were a sign of burnout. And my biggest realization one morning was I Googled symptoms of burnout. And I'm like, shit, if my mind is Googling wanting to know the answer to this, that means there's a problem. It's like when you're dehydrated, right? You don't wait until you're thirsty.
Yeah.
Right. Same thing, right? And you know, because you're already dehydrated by that time. So I was like, okay, I'm experiencing some burnout. So what I do now is at least one weekend a month, at least one, I have off, Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. But to combat the guilt, because I couldn't just sit and watch TV and do nothing.
Yes.
I would listen to a business podcast. I'd read a business book. So I would do something that was personal development, so it never felt wasted. But even then, my business coach was like, stop that, because your brain needs to rest. So I've gone from now, I do one weekend of personal development or coaching for myself. And one weekend is literally nothing. Like, and you know what I do? I put my laptop out of sight.
So have you started reading novels instead? Like, what are you, what are you doing? Because you're not just sitting watching Netflix.
I have.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's so surprising, Ush.
I know. And it felt like such a waste. But I was just watching just random shit, right? So I put a movie on. But then, you know, I take Snoopy for long walks, like multiple times in the day.
I mean, the pets makes a difference.
Yeah. So it wasn't like I was watching, you know, Netflix all weekend. But and those weekends I'd make an effort and cook something really nice, even though it's for myself. So I'd spend a bit of time in the kitchen. So yeah, so one weekend a month is definitely zero work, and my laptop's not even in sight. It's literally put away in a drawer because I've got a small apartment, so my work desk is in my lounge. And yeah, the other weekend is just work, like work, business related learning. Yeah.
It's pretty incredible. And as you said, like we actually had that conversation in self-care month in February around the slap whack Mac truck.
Yes.
And yet it actually didn't hit us until we spoke to Jess Jones about burnout in July. So it was a good 6 months that we sort of sat on that information. True. And really didn't apply it to ourselves. And I've sort of been thinking about this work creep a lot as well, because as I said, like I'm probably doing 3 full-time roles and then the intensity has gone up another 60% or so because of the amount of work. And I'm just like, well, I've got so much packed in. And as soon as you start easing back, there's a whole lot of guilt. And there's also a whole lot looking around going, what is wrong? Like I should be extremely busy. And so there's getting your mental, mental state or your head around the fact that it shouldn't be at that intensity level, and that you actually provide a lot value by doing things deeply and not fast. And so I've sort of also been thinking a lot about what my role should entail in 2022. If I get these two or three extra bodies into my business, roles are going to be removed off my plate. And so how do I not feel guilty about not doing the intensity that I've done and still feel like I'm doing valuable work for my business? And so I've been really thinking about that a lot and getting my head around that, because my own position description in my business is changing. And the most valuable work that has been what I should be doing in the past is no longer. And so
it's shifted.
Yeah. It's shifting. Mm-hmm.
I think mine will shift next year because, yes, I'm still doing the doing, but I think what I'm going to do now is be more selective about the clients I'm doing the doing with, and get my 12-month course sold to large corporates. So it won't be me delivering it. They'll be trained, because everything's like literally done for you. Like, you know, there's guides, there's this, there's that. So I'm really excited for next year. I think it's going to allow me to not do a lot of the doing, providing I get the right person. So for me, the first, I think, 3 months is going to be the pressure and the stress and the mind games my mind's going to play around investing in a decent salaried person.
That's right. And look, again, we're paralleling each other, because I've got to get a couple of people into key roles as well before the next stage. And so that has to happen early next year to be able to take the next step. It's funny, in such different industries and at such different business models, we're still pretty much paralleling each other with what we need and what we're doing.
Totally.
Yeah. The other thing that's really come to mind this year, and I'm not sure if it's because, no, it's not because of that, because I stopped watching the news. But what's been filtering into my awareness has been, you know, a whole lot of lack of integrity around leaders in all sorts of space this year. And it's really been making me really aware of my own leadership and making sure that I'm really integrous, because I think we're surrounded by, there's been a lot of people being called out for corruption. There's been a lot of denial. There's been a lot of people coming forward, whistleblowing, and a lot of women coming forward around sexual harassment and all sorts of things, with people being called out. And there's been a whole lot of defensiveness and sweeping things under the rug. And, you know, I think that generally people are a bit over people who lack integrity. And I think that is like a general sense that's sort of coming up all over the place.
I agree. It feels like it's been coming up almost every year for the last few years, and it's the most prominent, hasn't it, for 2021? Yeah,
very much so. And I think that rather than me getting annoyed or getting up on my soapbox or anything like that about others not being integrous, it's actually made me look internally and go, well, if we're going to be pointing fingers, let's make sure that, you know, I am not a hypocrite. And so I think, you know, there's a whole lot of noise with people pointing fingers on social media all over the place. But I think it starts at home and with your own behavior. And I'm not sure, you know, sometimes you get triggered by things that you're actually annoyed about in your own personality, and that sort of started making me go, my God, I hope that I'm not hypocritical. So
yeah I know, but all you can do is have awareness to your actions and ask for feedback. Like, I think that's, you know, something that we as leaders probably don't do enough for fear of, you know, what we're going to hear. But I think it's really important. Ask, like, continually ask people around you if, you know, if your words match your actions.
It is a hard question to ask. And I think with the team that I've got now, we've been doing a whole lot of work around our behavior and around our understanding each other's communication styles and strengths and all those sorts of things. And we've been having a lot of deep conversations to understand each other better and to understand where we're each coming from and what triggers us in certain situations and things like that. Mm. So I think the conversation that I'm having in my team is crucial.
Mm.
It's pretty authentic and vulnerable. And I think that it's just making us a tighter group as well.
Yes, that's right. And you're building trust, aren't you? Mm. Among each other as a group.
Mm, that's right. Absolutely. I think that that's potentially what's been lacking in my leadership, is that I've been so protective and defensive of myself and trying just to provide everything for everyone else, but not giving any part of me. And so by being a bit more authentic and open, I am showing that I'm willing to trust them.
That's a huge change where you were at the beginning of last year. Sure.
It is. It is massive, a huge change.
Yeah. Wow. Let's see what 2022 brings, right?
For yeah.
All good. Mm. No, let's reframe that. So excited for what 2022 has brought us. Empowering.
Why have we been so successful in 2022?
Yeah, that's right. Love that.
Yeah, I think it's a great reflection. I think despite all the external stuff, 2021 has been a great year for both of us. Very challenging. But I always say that I want challenges in my life. Like it would be a pretty boring life if there weren't challenges and growth and all those things. So I guess that's it for 2021. Yeah. Thank you so much for being with me throughout the year, Oosh. It's been great. It's
amazing. Yeah, really love how we've like supported each other and held each other accountable this year. And it's been really good.
That's right. And gone deep and challenged. Well, you particularly challenged me more than anything, but it's great.
It is good.
Yes. So if anyone wants to reflect with us or comment on anything that we've gone through or that you might have paralleled with us, please reach out, iqmeetseq.com.au. We post these into LinkedIn as well. Or Oosh, where can people reach out to you?
Yeah, eq.academy, please.
Wonderful. And Jackie@legallywisewomen.com.au. So I hope everyone has a safe and relaxing holiday period. It's looking like, you know, we've all got our freedoms and very excited for next year, that's for sure.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Catch you next year, everyone.
Next year.